Hello, we're Wilmot Dixon, and welcome to the second episode in our 10 Minutes On series, which seeks to delve into key topics surrounding simplifying sustainability in the built environment into easily digestible chunks. During this episode, we'll talk about two-stage procurement, how it can help unlock sustainable schemes and bring them forward. You'll also hear about some of the learnings from recent projects and common barriers and opportunities. I'm Tom Snay, and to discuss this with me today, we're delighted to be joined by Jerry Major, who's Regional Framework Manager at Wilmot Dixon, and Chris Clark, the Performance and Improvement Director at SCAPE. Jerry and Chris, thank you very much for joining us. As the title says, we've got only 10 minutes on this, and the clock starts now. So we'll go to you first, Jerry. What are the key ingredients to achieving a sustainable project?
I think the clue is in collaboration. It's having like-minded customers that actually have a passion about achieving this. It's about having the right design team there. There's a lot of very experienced consultants that were covered in the last podcast that can bring a lot to a project. But I think one of the key other things is actually bringing the contractor to the table as well. People that have actually got the ultimate responsibility for physically delivering, and including with that, I'd say their supply chain partners as well.
Mm. Jerry mentioned the client. I think getting the brief right is crucial. That aspiration for sustainability makes a big difference. The client comes to the table with that, everybody responds. The point about collaboration is about putting the skills around the table, and sustainability does need a lot of different perspectives. So you need the collective experience and energy to get it right. I think there's certain specific skills you need at the table. If you want a low carbon project, then you're going to have to measure and manage the carbon. So someone's got that brief, energy efficiency, material selection, just generally the experience in the things that matter. And I think part of getting the brief right, starting together, is getting the delivery strategy sorted out early. So you know who is going to be involved at what stage, and you give everyone permission to go at their areas of responsibility as early as you can. There's a lot of danger in leaving things too late in the project.
There's a huge amount to cover here, Tom, and 10 minutes of it could be attributed to each question. But I think also, what does the contractor bring? Well, ultimately, that's the person that's actually sourcing all the materials and the supply chain partners, and their locality, their proximity. I think, and also we've got the team there that can actually continually review all the options, and as they're developed up, put carbon against cost, against budget, against program, and actually sort of match theory with practical delivery.
Yeah, we're talking about two-stage procurement here, looking at traditional procurement routes. The convention is to start with the client and gradually build the team up. So you start small and add people. You select a consultant, and then later in the process, when you've done your design, you select a contractor. The danger is there's an awful lot of historical methods and approaches that aren't fit for purpose in a sustainability focused project. And actually, you run the risk of having to reverse engineer your project to reduce carbon or to reduce impacts later. So that function potentially misses opportunities to engage and deliver. So we'll talk about maybe how that works, but I think there's a risk in how things have been done in the past.
So how then is it best achieved, this getting these sustainable projects off the ground?
Well, the two-stage procurement piece is really important, and what we're talking about is framework procurement. So an organisation like SCAPE will put in place a construction framework, setting up an approach that then allows the project procurement at a specific level to be done at the time of the project, but taking away some of the lead-in time and enabling people to come to the table much more quickly in a project. So we do facilitate contractors like Wilmot Dixon to be involved in a project at a very early stage. We've taken the first stage of the tendering out of the question. So we are dealing with the selection of capable organisations at the beginning. We're taking away the risk that who you might get from the market isn't up to the job, making sure you're only working with very experienced and capable providers. And then liberating the client from the risk that they might not have the buying power to get good quality people in the room. So that the two-stage process allows you to access organisations that you know are up to the job. We are very stringent on the sustainability requirements for entry into frameworks now. We are looking for proven experience. We're looking for proven capability and commitments on sustainability, carbon reduction planning as organisations, capability at project level. The other key benefit of that two-stage approach is you have a pre-agreed structure to the way projects are going to be delivered. So the framework designs in stages that enable you to take on some of these challenges and think about them in the right order. really to think about the feasibility, viability of the approach, the buildability and the sustainability in the very early stage planning with a contractor. You're not having to wait to have that conversation. The two-stage procurement allows you to bring that party to the table straight away.
I think just on the back of that, more often than not with a single-stage approach, we often find that the contractors engage really late, but actually most of the benefits on sustainability, BREEAM, biodiversity are all embedded right at the very front end. So I think it's very much about get all the right people round the table as early as possible. Yeah. Work collaboratively, as I mentioned earlier, but right first time saves time, saves costs, saves money in programme.
Yeah, we are talking about bringing the contractor into the room at sort of REBA stage 1 to 2, not REBA stage 4, which is the traditional approach. You're designing and working together on the project outcomes rather than designing, then procuring the contractor. Huge, huge difference. And in terms of carbon reduction, the opportunity for carbon reduction is sort of 75% of the carbon footprint of a building. If you tackle that together in stage 1 to 2, if you leave it to stage 4 and ask the contractor to solve the problem, they might get 35% out of the design through material choices and things. So yeah, that early conversation is absolutely critical. We facilitate that.
What does this then look like on a kind of a customer and a project basis then? How does this work on a practical basis?
Chris mentioned is getting involved with REBA 1 or 2. I'd say actually 0 sometimes is the best place to start, but I'll come back to that a little bit later. I think, ultimately it's bringing a team together to try and unlock the best results for customers and their projects. I think, what does the contractor do? Well, I think actually being a critical friend is probably an appropriate terminology for it. We're all there for the end game, but I think it's how do we all work together to actually maintain the budget? I think we often see that we can, as an independent set of eyes or somebody involved at the front end, can actually sort of revisit the customer's brief, challenge, are we building the right thing? Help people keep on track, give informed cost program, carbon evaluations to all the decisions that are being made. So that continually there might be 2, 3, 4 options on the table for any given solution that are actually quantifiable there and then, mm-hmm. and can help make a valid judgment on which is right. And I think also we might ask some tough questions of the customer, the budget, the designers, ourselves, but actually, how do you put the right amount of building in place to deliver this? It might be some of the fundamental questions that you actually build less. To actually get to a more sustainable approach. You might actually end up doing a refurb, recommending a refurb on a building rather than new build. Yeah. A recent feasibility actually just showed that actually it was more economical and sustainable to actually build a new building. So we help the customer sort of totally turn their brief and agenda around. So yeah, having that critical friend together, I think actually at the front end drives a lot of the early thinking and gets the right solution. Coming back to what we were saying, collaboratively right first time.
Yeah.
So what kind of are the other major advantages to using frameworks and going down that route?
Procuring construction, especially sustainable construction, is quite difficult. It's a challenging discipline. And if you work with framework operators like SCAPE, like the other members of the National Association of Construction Frameworks, you're working with local government specialists who've done this a long time, who are experienced in it, who are working on the front edge of policy and best practice. So we've contributed to the government's playbook, we've contributed to the gold standard of frameworks. Those are arrangements that are leading the way in terms of sustainability and good practice. So we're designing the way we procure and the way our projects are set up, whoever the contractor is, to bring best practice into play. I think there's a piece about value for money too, and avoiding wastage. So if you go through single stage tendering, you run the very real risk of not knowing how the market will respond. And I think a single stage procurement strategy still has a place in the world in projects where all the risks are understood and where the client has a real confidence in what they're designing and delivering. But you have to be really sure you do know the best way of doing something. What frameworks offer is access to a number of providers who have expertise in a number of different approaches to engage with, talk through those challenges and deliver. And I think that makes a big difference. Beyond the procurement process, frameworks also provide a collaborative space for improvement. So certainly in the way SCAPE does business, we don't stop at procurement. We select great providers. We ask them to tell us how they're going to build in a brilliant way. But then we bring our contractors together to talk about some of the key problems, like measuring and managing carbon in special interest groups, in collaborative working groups. We've done an amazing piece of work recently on reducing modern slavery, on ethical labour auditing on site. Those are challenging collaborative conversations which are moving the industry forward, only at the scale of a framework with the buying power and the commitment from the contractors for long-term engagement. Can you create those sort of relationships? So it gives clients scale-up buying power that they wouldn't be able to do on their own. And it also accesses genuine expertise in procurement that means you're going to get good practice embedded in your project without having to know how to do it.
I think there's customers often say is, what is the value of using a framework? And I think some of the value is realized by a lot of customers that use frameworks, and especially Scape were influential in the early days of embedding KPIs into the framework tender, and therefore the commitments that the contractors have to work to. Others have followed suit in various different levels. But I think with those results from those KPIs, you can evidence the actual difference. Coming back to the optioneering we were talking about earlier, you can see the good part of A, B and C, put them together for a third project that you might be looking at. But equally, from a sustainability point of view, the KPIs are there for a reason. It creates local economic benefit, but also in terms of sustainability. It could be ensuring it's local people that are employed, reducing vehicle miles, local materials, cutting down on embedded carbon, reducing energy on site, reducing waste to landfill. All these KPIs actually all drive towards this end solution.
We'd add, I guess, there's an element of a framework operator being able to provide assurance. So we don't just step away from the process, and we do provide the measurement and management tools, but we also provide an element of challenge. Social value is a good example of that. So we do audit the data being created on projects, the evidence around claims. So it's not a case of just saying we did this. We can say, well, with real confidence, we've evidence that that happened. Clients can be confident it's not just a grandiose claim, but actually proven. And we're able to do some of that as a framework operator, as a confidence builder for clients.
Well, I mean, our 10 minutes is up, but I could talk about this with you guys all day. So I'd just like to if we could just talk about a couple maybe of examples of where this kind of approach has worked well, just to wrap up with.
Do you want me to pick up?
Sure.
I think what I've seen recently is one of our long-term Scape and framework customers came to us with a project. And just as we were helping them compile the brief, their organization landed a draft climate emergency policy on us, on themselves, you know, on their own team. And I think coming back to collaboration, we were all able to come together and actually pull this apart, A, try and understand it, B, work out how it applied to the project, work through what decisions we needed to make, how we needed to apply it. We were actually understanding as we went and helping the customer understand it, informing the actual project. So in actually informing their own draft policy into a firmed up policy of how do you apply it in the real world. The outcome of that is that council has now actually just got its first net zero carbon building. The learning, the great thing about frameworks and values is actually implementing learnings almost straight away. Because this customer was a repeat customer as well, all of that came back into the next project, which actually was a lot simpler learning curve for us all, including the customer and the designers. But actually, it now means that we're actually delivering the second, third, and got a program of net zero carbon in operation buildings for that customer that's a total first for them. So that's what
I think. Can I chip one in there, Jerry? Yeah. We as a framework operator are able to take that kind of learning and take it onto another client in another part of the country. So there's this piece about bouncing learning between clients, which makes a real difference. So a long-term client benefits from the relationship, but as do new clients coming onto the framework. We publish recommended environmental standards for projects, which bring some of the learned experience from other projects to the table, and all of our contractors constantly update those. So for example, what energy performance targets might you set out on a project if you are aiming for low carbon in operation? You know, we've got learned experience from multiple projects, and we can turn that around and give it back to the contractors and say, here's what everyone's using now and it's working.
I think just in terms of what we're using, we've developed a vehicle called Energy Synergy, which basically, as I was talking earlier, helps us look at all the options and appraise them against cost program, carbon. That's probably a story for another day that I think, Tom, you've got planned. And also, how do we apply carbon as a currency in a project? There you go. There's a couple of titles for the next edition.
You're getting ahead of us, Jerry. You're getting ahead of our plans. I mean, that, as the name of the show goes, is our 10 minutes on two-stage procurement. So thank you very much to Jerry and to Chris for their time today. And thank you guys for tuning in. We hope you found the episode informative. And we're looking forward to welcoming you back next time when the episode will be on the ticking time bomb of decarbonisation and the cost of waiting.